Hey there, and welcome back to Seasons of Life here on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamelem-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome this lovely Tuesday night, and let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Seasons of Life here on 101.9 CITR FM. I'm joined today by another very special guest this Tuesday. Hello, sir. Who are you and how do we know each other?
My name is David Saban of the David Saban. And we know each other because we're part of the same gang. We're part of the same gang. We hold up banks together. We've done several Ponzi schemes. And Sean is kind of like my ride or die.
Mm-hmm. And we actually did a multi-level marketing scheme not too long ago.
Yeah.
particularly, we met on a bus.
We met on the bus. So we were like a little bus crew, and we had all our little friends and. And then it was you and I think one or two of your sisters, I remember, Lindsay and...
Kelsey,
yeah.
Yeah, we were great on the bus. And we haven't really talked much since then, of course, besides the bank heists and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we... So I see you at some bank, sometimes I'll be sticking up a bank and you might walk in and, you know, I have to, you know, you have to respect me if I'm sticking up a bank. You get to go find another bank. I'm still pissed off about that. I just want you to know that. I'm a little pissed off about that.
You know, I'm sorry to hurt you in that kind of way. It was never my intention.
Okay, I just want to know that we're cool and it's not personal.
I think it's a bit personal. I mean, you got a lot of money from that one. So... So we're thinking of, I asked you to pick some songs from a season in your life. You said that you wanted to kind of talk about your last kind of 5 years. And kind of what came to mind when I asked that question?
Well, I think the thing that came to mind were like, when you're talking about songs that affected our life. I think that songs that affected my life at a very young age were probably a little bit corny, you know? I'd probably be like, AC/DC's Thunderstruck, or like, I don't know, like fucking Stairway to Heaven. That was the stuff that's like, I feel like the most significant part of my life has been the last 5 years, and it's been broadening my musical view and making an effort to, you know? So, and along the way, I just found music that's kind of a little bit off the beaten path that have affected my life that I wouldn't expect it to. And I think it keeps happening to me where I find a song that, you know, affects me in my life.
Totally. Yeah. We have a great lineup here. They're all
damn right.
Yeah. Great songs. I will say you chose
damn
well.
Fucking so. Right.
So our first one is Finger by Ty Segall. And you were saying, why did you pick that one? Kind of what's the first? I may have said his last name wrong.
Yeah. Ty Segall. Some people say Segall. I'm not really sure at this point, but, Ty, I've been really getting into like the San Francisco, like LA garage scene. There's like a great docuseries on it on YouTube, but I just remember like hearing that song and kind of hearing about Ty Segall, and I was in a band with a guy who liked him, and I looked him up and I found this album Melted, and I chose that album because of the fucking cover is like very jarring. So just the first song was his Finger, and like I was just working at this like very grimy, like, you know, pretty gross like downtown Vancouver liquor store. It had like dead mice in the walls and stuff, and you could smell them, and there was like drunk like people with like no teeth like telling me that they were gonna come back and kill me and stuff like that, and you know, just very grimy shit. And you know, I think that song aligned perfectly with, you know, what I was doing there, and it kind of, I guess, motivated me to be, you know, the work or something. I don't know, like it understood me at that very moment, you know, at that moment I was
totally. And I mean, it sounds like a normal day at the office, right? Just like,
yeah, you know, yeah,
I kill you, and
that song represents the normal day at the office, right? So in a musical way, it also kind of taught me like to not worry so much about like production value and stuff. Like, you can still make a great record with a guitar, a bass, and like some clippy drums, you know, like it's very, visceral and very emotional and very angry, and you know, it's yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we'll give it a listen, and then nice. We'll let you guys be the judge. I agree. It is very visceral. The cover is of a man, a yellow man, with his face melting off or something going on. I would check it out if I were watching it, if I were you.
Yeah.
Without further ado, this is Finger by Ty Segall. So that was Finger by Ty Segall. So you're saying this was a part of a garage, psychedelic garage band or genre from San Francisco. Kind of what's up with that?
I think in like, I just saw this like docuseries about San Francisco's garage rock in like mid to later 2000s, 2010s. And I think Ty Segall and also the next song by the OCs, they're big components of that San Francisco scene. So I think a lot of like that's garage rock sound, it's like very nuanced, like garage rock, it's like we're in like a sixth or seventh wave garage rock right now. It's like a weird, there's like a weird explanation for it. But like it's like Ty Segall, and before that, like, you know, also like the White Stripes were kind of like at the beginning of their career were like that,
right?
They kind of sounded like the same thing. And yeah, I think it has to do with a lot of like tape delays and stuff on their guitars and vocals and stuff. It's just kind of like the style and very grimy and, you know, lo-fi as it were. So, yeah.
Totally, yeah. So you're talking about the next song by the OCs.
Yeah.
Why did you kind of include this one?
I think this song, it came around at the same time, probably like I had a same guy who listened to Ty Segall also listened to the OCs. So I was like kind of sitting on it for a bit, and then I heard them and I didn't really like them. And then I heard a song called The Dream, and then I got obsessed with them. And then I heard this song, which completely made me obsessed with them. It's like, if you know me, like, the OCs is, like, one of my favorite bands. It's a very interesting song because it's one riff for the whole fucking thing. And I think just working at that, like, I think becoming, lack of a better term, a big pothead. Just like living in this house I do now, smoking pot all day. I was just like listening to the OCs like on TV. Like I'd wake up, I'd smoke, like, because I was on the EI for a bit, I'd smoke some pot and I'd just watch the OCs. Like I wouldn't, you know. And that was just like, it was a huge part of like getting through, like the band kind of helped me get through like a hard part of my life where I like kind of lost my job because of this back injury. And you know, I had to go on EI and I was like scared I wouldn't play guitar anymore, but you know, I think this song is it's just like reminds me that, you know, you can still do it, you know. If this guy can play one riff for the whole fucking thing, you can still play guitar. Like, you know, you gotta kind of believe in yourself in that way.
Yeah. So what was going through your mind at that period? Because it can't be easy to lose your job, you know? Like what were you feeling like
call it off. I was gonna call it off. I was either gonna start and like get rid of the Davidsa band and do something like maybe like a DJ, like I don't know. I was just kind of ready to quit, you know. It affected my back, affected my arms and like my hands, and you know, I love playing guitar, and it was really, really hard. And just to know that I had to be off the guitar for months and months and kind of stop, like put songwriting on a halt, that what was going through my mind was just give up, you know. But I think just having a consistent like band to listen to, and they have a huge discography. They're like King Gizzard, where it's like 30 records or something. They release two every year or something, and it's just like, it just kind of like, it was reassuring to have a band that was so consistent. And this song, I think, encapsulates a lot of their like energy, and like a lot of their like live performances are very drawn out, and it feels like the songs might be like 8 to 10 minutes, but it feels completely timeless, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how much time went by, and that's kind of the spirit of psychedelia, you know.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we'll go on to Contraption/Soul Desert by the OCs, and we'll get up to listening to that, and we'll be right back with the Davidsa Band.
Yeah.
So that was the OCs. We're back here with David. Now, we're on to our next song, which is Jessica by Adam Green. Now, what do we feel about that one? Why did we kind of include that?
This one is kind of funny. I just remember like discovering this song recently on someone's like story. And there's really not much like emotionally attached to the song other than like the place in my life. My girlfriend, like now, I was just like, she lived in this place on Oak. And when I'd walk from the SkyTrain to her place, just like it was kind of like winter and cold and raining, I just had this song going and it would just always be stuck in my head all the time. Like, just like people get annoyed. Like, some people get annoyed because I'm just like, Jessica Simpson. It's like, still, I'm like, it's always just like, it's such a fucking earworm for me. I don't know why, but that's pretty much it with that song. Like, I just thought it's so catchy. Like, the lyrics, it just makes me happy, you know? It makes me laugh, and it's a catchy melody, and the chords are pretty pleasant, you know?
Totally. Yeah, so yeah, how do you use music? So do you use music to match your mood or change your mood?
That's a really good question. I would actually say both. But more match my mood, but it sometimes change my mood if I'm like feel like I have like I'm like okay like you gotta do something or whatever, but yeah I'd say a healthy both with more matching my mood. If I'm sad, I listen to sad music. If I'm happy, I listen to like some rock and roll or something, you know.
Yeah. So do you have like when it comes to listening to songs that you attach with relationships, is that something that's challenging to you? After the relationship's
over? Maybe I should have added some of this on, but yeah, I definitely had trouble, with some songs after my first girlfriend, but, I mean, at the end of the day, they're just fucking songs, you know, it's like, it's hard to listen to, but you kind of warm back up to them after a while.
Yeah, totally. So then do you find yourself replaying it so that you can forget the feelings that are attached to them? Or, like, how do you deal with it? Or how do you navigate that?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I don't, like, listen to it. I just kind of, like, if it's genuinely a good song, I'm like, yeah, go listen to it. Maybe not as much as other songs, but, like, sometimes if it's like on a playlist, I'll just, you know, I'll just hear it out. Like, yeah, it's a good song, you know, try to forget about what's attached to it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But there's always that little probation period where it's like, okay, I'm not listening to any of these songs. You know what I mean? Yeah. It makes you too sad and shit. So
yeah, totally. I definitely feel that. And there's always the odd one where there's been a couple songs ruined for me, but I try my hardest not to make them be ruined because it's like they're still a good song, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm such a musician that I can't let it be ruined, you know. I generally do really like some of those songs that I can't listen to, but I've definitely like, you know, okay, I definitely like still have them on a playlist and they do come back around. I don't mind it so much, you know.
Totally. Yeah. That's totally fair. Well, up next we have the earworm of the David Saban. Jessica by Adam Green here on Season of Life.
Jessica Simpson, where has your love gone? It's not in your music, no. You need a vacation to wake up the cavemen and take them to Mexico. Jessica, Jessica Simpson, you've got it all wrong. Your fraudulent smile, the way that you faked it the day that you died. My body's in shambles, encrusted with brambles that sharpen the air I breathe. What's on the menu, Jessica? Can you take down my order, please? Jessica, Jessica Simpson, you've got it all wrong. Your fraudulent smile, the way that you faked it the day that you died. Tomorrow gets closer, a purple bulldozer is calling you on the phone. Your love life precedes you, your son-in-law feeds you injections of cortisone. Jessica, Jessica Simpson, you've got it all wrong. Your fraudulent smile, the way that you faked it the day that you died. Jessica Simpson, where has your love gone? It's not in your music, so where has it gone? Then Jessica.
Three women, dressed in lingerie, were hanging from the ceiling on meat hooks. In an adjacent room, a man was in bed with two deceased females, also wearing lingerie. He positioned their arms in a sexy embrace. Down the hall, a man holding a chainsaw stood over the motionless body of a sixth woman, lying on a table covered in plastic. These are scenes from a popular music video by a Grammy Award-winning artist. If we want violence against women to stop, shouldn't we stop treating it like entertainment? Join the conversation at #NotOkay.
Welcome back. That was a song about Jessica Simpson by Adam Green on the album Friends of Mine. What a great song. That's nice.
Cute song, yeah. Just silly, just good, you know, just good fun.
Yeah. Oh, to love someone like he loves Jessica Simpson. So we're on to Jeff Buckley.
Sad Boy Hours.
Sad Boy Hours. So why did you include Jeff Buckley? Because I think if anyone knows Jeff Buckley, they know that it probably is accompanied by some tears or something.
You got it, Buster. Well, I actually remember the first time hearing the song was in a friend's car, and I've been, not to toot my own horn here, but I've been told I remind them of Jeff Buckley, which I didn't understand how big of a compliment that was. I was just like, he just sounds like some kind of fucking John Mayer type. I was like, cool, like, oh, whatever. And then I was in the car with some friends, and it was just like that moment of hearing Lover, You Should Have Come Over. Like, I was just like, holy shit, this is what a breakup is like. Of course, there's so many breakup songs, but something about this breakup song just totally captures, like, you know, what should I have done differently, or what, like, if I could go back and change it, or blah blah blah, you know. It just has all these, like, he talks about all those things, and you know, being a young man, you know, being a young man not really knowing what they're doing, and, you know, we're all young people, and, you know, in relationships, are we good enough for this, or blah blah blah, are we, you know, like, it's just like it's totally like, yeah, just like, since I listened to that, I've just been hooked. Also to the record Grace, you know, that record is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And just in a musical sense, like, his voice, man, his voice is just off the charts, you know.
Absolutely.
Off the charts, like Jeff Buckley, like I'd put him up there with like Freddie Mercury and fucking like Elton John, or like any of those like legendary male singers. Like, he's totally like up there with his range and his tone and his the guy was a fucking like prodigy, and he drowned in the river and died. I always think about that too, you know, like this young promising man and then dies, and it's kind of, The song is kind of attached with, of course, like, his life and stuff like that, you know?
Mm.
I think this song, every time I listen to it, definitely I get a little teary-eyed and stuff, because it's so, it for lack of a better term, it hits home, you know?
Mm, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole album, Grace, is just such a good album, and just the way, I think the way that we've are able to appreciate art and music after someone has died and in light of their death, I think is important, and also adds to the song in a strange way.
Yeah.
So this was after you left the liquor store, I'm assuming. So where are you at this stage in your life now?
So at this stage of my life, I'm, I left the liquor store. I can't use my arms. I think I'm in a new relationship. Anyway, I'm in a new relationship, and I'm just kind of reflecting on that time between, like being broken up with and kind of just, like, you know, like, whatever, like, you know, just being in Vancouver and smoking pot all day and, you know, blah, blah, and this relationship, and it's just, like, I'm just kind of, like, looking back and reflecting, and still I'm just, you know, here smoking pot in the house, yeah. You know, just kind of, like, getting teary-eyed, you know, like, discovering Jeff Buckley, like. And I guess at this moment, yeah, this is after I've left the liquor store and and just sitting around and being sad.
Absolutely, yeah. So listen to this.
I really have been up to much, my friend.
Yeah. Well, has it changed much since then, or is it still kind of like on the same trajectory, kind of?
No. There's a more consistent trajectory now. By that time I think I just found out my drummer from the my drummer Trevor was moving to Germany and leaving the band, and I was pretty sad about that because I really like Trevor.
It just sounds like a really rough kind of pit. How did you kind of get out of it? Like, was there something where you were
I'm a young guy, I'm capable, you know? It's just, these are all just like very depressing thoughts, but like, you know, at the end of the day, I have most of my health. I have, you know, supportive parents. You know, you just have to look at the things that are there for you and honestly compare it to other things. You know, like, some people don't have that. Those parents have those supports, have their whole health, you know. It's like, well, I still have these things, and I have this musical, like, you know, musical journey still. Mm. And I have that to look forward to, and it's the thing that makes me the happiest. And yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at now. But then I was like so ready to give up, and like, I think hearing like this song has been another component of like, you should keep going, you know?
Yeah,
and just motivation. And again, I don't know if we have a little bit more time, but musically, this song kind of pushed me to focus more on lyrics, content, you know, melody. Like, instead, I think like, I was kind of more of like, I wasn't much of a lyrics guy. I didn't listen to lyrics that often, but when I listened to the song, it was like, okay, like, I get, like, this is invoking like more than emotion. This is invoking like thoughts of my life and making me reflect. Like, this is more, there's more to all of like songwriting and artistry, you know. It's you're saying something.
Yeah. So is there any lyrics that we should look out for right before we play it?
You know, I'm not the best at remembering lyrics, not even my own.
No, it's fine. we could listen to it. But, so everyone keep an eye out for the for the lyrics.
Put it on. Don't waste everyone's time. Put it on, and then I'll look up the lyrics.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Okay, so this is Lover, You Should Have Come Over by Jeff Buckley on the album Grace.
The shoes fill up with water. Maybe I'm too young to keep good love from going. but tonight you're on my mind, so you never know. Broken down and hungry for your love, but no way to feed it. Where are you tonight, child? You know how much you need it. Too young to hold on, and too old to just break free and sometimes a man gets carried away. He feels like he should be having his fun. But much too blind to see the damage he's done. Sometimes a man must wait to find. Open window lets the rain in, burning in the corner is the only one that dreams he had you with him. My body turns and yearns for a sleep that won't. Against her, and
Red Cat Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
Okay, so that was the beloved Jeff Buckley with Lover, You Should Have Come Over. Now, we were talking before about a lyric that kind of stood out to you. We were talking while it was going on. You found it. What's the lyric?
So the lyric is, it starts from, "It's never over, my kingdom for a kiss upon her shoulder, all my riches for her smiles when I slip so soft against her, all my blood for the sweetness of her laughter. She's the tear that hangs inside my soul forever." I think that's just the lead up to that line. She's the tear that hangs in my soul forever. Such a vivid, you get such a vivid image of a tear hanging inside a soul. Like, it's such a sad image, and, you know, and somehow, even if it's not like whatever, but it's like, it's you feel the tear like dripping from your soul when you hear that, you know. It's so specific, but it's so, I don't know. It's like it hits hard when he says that, you know.
It's like a little stain, not a stain on your soul, but like some sort of, like, you know, it's just like an imprint there, you know.
Whether that person, like, you know, it's like they've affected your life, you know. There was sadness and there was happiness and whatever it was, and, you know, it's a part of who you are and a part of, I guess, your soul, you know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, with relationships in general, it's good to have kind of a way to conceptualize how it feels to have to move on, or what you're feeling, you know.
Because sometimes it's hard to describe, you know. It's like you're trying to describe it to someone, and then someone describes it perfectly, and you're like, yes, you're like, yes, you know. Like, it's like, that's what I'm trying to say, you know. Like,
That's the one.
That's the one.
There it is. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I guess we're going on to the next one too. It's by Can, or C-A-N, probably Can, with their song Vitamin C. And so this is where is this in the stage? Like, what's happening now? Why did you choose this song?
I think this is me, definitely, you know, the band's back together, and, you know, we're rehearsing really hard, and I think this is around the point where we have like kind of a live session coming up and all that, and I think this song, I think there's not a lot honestly, like, emotionally for me, but I'd say that I was listening to this band a lot, and I think it more conveys, I wouldn't say emotional, like the lyrics or anything, but it's more of emotion. The music, kind of the chords and like the composition of it is very emotional. I think the drumming in it is very kind of, it's so what Can is they were a krautrock band from the 70s, and they were forefront of the krautrock movement, and it was very experimental. And I think this song. For me, like, let me experiment more with things that are maybe not so conventional. This song is probably their most like digestible, is why I chose it of all the songs. But I think this is the song that got me into Can and was it kind of taught me at this point in my life, you know, when I was like, when I'm writing new songs and stuff, and I'm coming, you know, I've come out with Melt Brain Melt, I think my second record, and I'm trying to, like, get rid of the stigmas where it's like you have to be in a certain genre or a certain this, you know. It's okay to not put those limitations on yourself, you know, not only in music but in life, you know, not to put these invisible limitations on yourself. I think Can is kind of one of those bands that kind of just did whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah. Why try and hide behind an idea of what you should be, right? Kind of idea.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, without further ado, we'll listen to Vitamin C by Can, and we'll talk a bit about it more after we come back. So, here we go. I'm
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
So,
yeah,
we're on, that was Vitamin C by Can.
Yeah.
Kind of futuristic, kind of has these, you know, great kind of progressive vibes.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air about funkadelics, futurism too,
and
all the psychedelics in the 70s and how that possibly changed music.
Oh, possibly, definitely.
Definitely changed music. 100% changed music.
100%. When Sgt. Pepper came out, people were just having a heyday. You
know? Yeah, it's going to be interesting to look back and think about the events that changed, like, music and culture now. There's definitely, you know, these massive shifts going on, and it's going to be very interesting to see what people pinpoint as, like, the major events that, you know, impacted this culture.
Yeah.
I'm so curious, but...
Yeah.
Anyways, we're on to Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover. So is this about someone who you wanted to be their lover? Is this the story? Mm-hmm.
Nah, I think for me it was a little more than that. I think it was more of like, I think going back, this kind of going back in time, and this doing this list kind of made me think of this song, is that I'm a bit pretentious when it comes to music sometimes. You know, like, but I want to, like, also say, like, you know, I like pop, and I like you know, feminine things as well. I like pop, like you know, like, I don't want to say feminine, that's maybe the wrong term, but like say, like, lighter hearted, lighter, like, I don't know, like, fluffier, not so intense, not so dark. I think I added this to the list because it's just where I'm at now. I'm like, you know, I'm looking back, I'm like, Prince is also, like, one of my favorite artists, and I think now it's kind of, he's kind of a big part of who I am today, and especially the song. And it's just like, you know, don't be scared to be, you know, like, Prince, you know, like, he wasn't like, like a lot of people were making fun of him for, you know, being very feminine, wearing high heels and stuff, and, you know, and makeup and assless chaps and all that, and people were calling him, you know, I'm not gonna say the word, but
yeah,
you know,
like,
but yeah, so anyway, a lot of that, but you know, he was himself, you know, and I think through all this, I'm still myself, and I think this song just reminds me of like. He's, you know, the lyrics are, I ain't got no money. It starts with, I ain't got no money. I'm like, I ain't got no money. I'm still myself, you know, and I can be, it's all who you are up kind of here, you know, mm. Realize this is more important than anything else or my body, you know, anything like my face or whatever I wear or something. But it's just that song kind of like, reminds me that I guess in layman's terms, just be who you are and be and don't care if people are gonna call you this or call you that. Like, you know, Prince definitely was receiving so much criticism, and he is one of the greatest musicians and artists of the 80s.
Yeah,
and so one of the top records independently, well, behind a record label, but he recorded the records himself, you know.
Yeah, to make a difference, you really do have to push against those. You know, a dominant culture. That's how kind of art moves people, right?
Yeah.
Which is insane to think about, that if there weren't people like Prince who were willing to kind of put their ass on the line, so to speak, and, you know, just be themselves, then we wouldn't have the cultural currents that we do now, which is insane.
Well, yeah, man, he had the balls, man. He had the feet, like, he had the fucking, like, he has some balls, like, to go out in a time like that and with like high heels and stuff, you know, not everyone, like, it was becoming more popular, but I think after David Bowie, you know, Prince definitely totally cashed in on it and was going right way off the deep end with it. And then, you know, after this album was Dirty Mind and stuff like that, and it's not for everyone, you know. That's the thing I like about it. Some people hear it and they're like, oh, he's got a high voice and shit like that, he's a man, like, he's got a high voice, but I don't know. It's just so ballsy and so like confident, and, you know, in a way, it's very, very manly. It's like masculating to me. You know, it's like a very, in a weird way. You know,
there's a confidence. Like, you know, like, he's just being himself, which I feel like is a very a great thing.
Yeah, it kind of makes me feel more. This song specifically also makes me feel very confident in my masculinity, you know.
I'd say that'd probably be what I have to do with this song. Which is so important too, to be comfortable in your skin, right? So we're on to I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince, and then we'll cap it off with your very own song. We have the privilege of hearing it, and we'll get right back here on Seasons of Life. Yes, it is a privilege. We're privileged to have you here, David.
All right.
Okay, so here's I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince.
But they are shows together better than live music and a beer. Or two. Or five. Wait a minute. An estimated 886,000 Canadians age 15 and older abused or were dependent on alcohol in 2012. 1 in 7 Canadians aged 15 years and older experience verbal, emotional, and physical abuse as a result of another person's drinking. Make sure a fun night out doesn't ruin everyone else's, or your own. If you see yourself or someone you know slightly off-key, help everyone out and step in. After all, you want to be able to remember the show tomorrow morning.
So that was Prince. Off the air, we were lamenting on just how progressive and cool Prince is.
We are so cool and progressive. We are.
Yeah.
We want everyone know that we are progressive.
Yeah.
And don't ask us if we're not, because we are.
Yeah, we are. We were just talking about trying to reaffirm, just so everyone listening knows, we are the forefront of culture. We're pushing it forward here.
We're pushing it forward. Me and Sean are gonna lead this army.
What army? Us and like two people.
I don't know, but it's gonna be like a bunch of dudes in high heels. It's gonna be like dudes in high heels walking down street, and we're gonna bring it hard.
I think that's a good idea. Bring it hard is always fun. So our next song is She Flies in a UFO by the David Chaband. Luckily, the David Chaband David Chaband is here right now. So tell us a bit about this song.
It's about a friend I had who was dating one of my best friends, and then, you know, they broke up. They were still kind of friends, so that friend was out traveling, and so she stayed in Vancouver, so I thought I'd get to know her a little better. Just as, you know, we hung out and stuff, and we had a good time, and we were laughing, and became really, really close friends after a while, like me, my friend, and his ex, and, you know, and we had a nice friend group and stuff like that. And one day she attempted to commit suicide, and she overdosed on some kind of pills, I'm not really sure. And while my buddy was away, you know, I was taking care of her I was visiting her in the mental institution, that she was at, and you know, I had my allotted time, like 3 to 6, you know, and you know, I would just talk to her and try to listen, and be there for her. And then it was a weird situation because I had to be like, oh yeah, everything's fine, you know, she's great, you know, like to my buddy. So I was just like, I didn't want to ruin his trip. Was out, but anyway, so it was like a very dark and intense situation. I would make sure I go every day and all that stuff, and it was very, I learned a lot also being in there, because I was there every day. I learned a lot about mental health and stuff like that. And I think the song I wrote for her, I went into the institution and I played it for her, and I don't know what my expectations for the song was at the beginning, but it kind of turned out to be more than I thought it was, you know? But it was like, it started to be like a really nice present for a friend, but I realized a lot of the lyrics derived from me kind of predicting her departure from us as friends and from the friend group, and like, it eventually did happen. I was right, it did happen. She, you know, it just, you know, didn't get along and stuff like that, and you know, eventually we never heard from her again, you know. It's kind of like, I hope she's okay wherever she is, but you know, that kind of thing.
What was it like to have that, like, how was it like to deal with that in the moment?
Tense, because I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. So I was thinking about it while I was at work, like, I have to go see her after work and stuff like that, like, where her parents and shit like that. Like, I was like, I don't know. I feel like I was with her most of that time, and I had some kind of responsibility. And it was a little stressful, but I took it as a learning experience too at the time. I was like trying to glean something from this as well.
What'd you learn?
You can do so much for someone, like, you can't make their decisions or something.
You know? Yeah, you can't make their problems go away, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. You can't make their problems go away. It's not about that, you know. It's not about trying to make their problems go away. And you know, and it also showed me very dark sections of the mind and like a more maybe scientific thing, like like a very like there, like she would tell me some of these thoughts that she would have and all this, and like just very dark and very like, you know, like all these, and you know, just being in the, you know, the institution as well, like it was such a dark place. And I, you know, I kind of saw like the lowest mental state you can be, almost, you know. But
well, it can be interesting to see that, especially not really being exposed to it growing up, because, you know, I remember the first time someone told me they wanted to kill themselves and things along kind of the mental health side. If you've never been exposed to it, it's so shocking sometimes to think that that's, you know.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, I was like, it wasn't like, like, I remember the day before she tried, it was like, I'm gonna kill myself. And I remember telling her, and I'll just be honest, I was like, because no one's ever told me that before. I'm like, stop talking ridiculous, you know, you're not gonna kill yourself. I really said that. I think about that today. I'm like, man, I fucking shouldn't have said that, you know.
Yeah, and, but you don't know what you don't know, especially because so many people joke about suicide and stuff.
Yeah, it's true. It's such a huge thing on the internet. KNL, you know, kill myself, you know. Or what is it? KMS
or something?
KMS. Yeah. KML. I don't know how to say it. but it's like, you know, it's just, I thought she was just kind of saying it as like a very over emotional thing, but I didn't realize her sincerity. And I think I now recognize that sincerity as well. After that, like literally the day after, like I get the call, like I'm at the mental institution, you know, I'm calling them, like, oh my God, like, what did you do? Like, you know, it's just like, it was so real, and it was so real all of a sudden, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that in mind, listening to the next song, it'll actually add some great context. We're also at the end of the show, though, so is there anything that you want to leave us before we listen to the song?
Just let me know if I remind you of Jeff Buckley or not.
Okay, and you can be reached at
604.
Okay.
My PO box.
Yeah. Mac DeMarco did that in his song. He gave someone his address.
It's like he's like, come for coffee or something.
People came, but
yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So on a sadder note, we're saying goodbye to David. This is his song, She Flies in a UFO.
It was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Yeah. You're a great guest. It was a privilege. Okay. So this is She Flies in a UFO.
She's too high above. Thank you.
See our solar system from outer space.